With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
All right, it's 8:32 on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. Jerome Solomon joining us right now from the Houston Chronicle. He's also on the Blitz quite often right here on ESPN 97.5. Jerome, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen?
How you doing? I would imagine you've gotten a lot of play from this from the article about Bob McNair.
It's been a little interesting of late.
It's been very interesting.
Don't check the mentions. A
little more than I expected.
Yeah. from both sides, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to wake up and be called a racist before you get your cereal in the morning.
Oh, hey.
And I got to pour white milk on my cereal. I'm so mad.
You don't have chocolate milk?
I got called a racist this weekend for saying that I thought Bill O'Brien did a great job of working, of acclimating his offense to Deshaun's strengths, and that this was going to be something we saw in pro football.
Well, that's very racist.
It's playing to the college quarterback's strengths. And somebody goes, "You're always on this low-key racism stuff where you have sly racist things." And I'm like, what? He conforms to a college quarterback's strengths. RPOs with Nick unless Nick Foles is like we had this whole long conversation.
Right,
but anyway, well, you let people do that. Deal,
yeah. All right. So you talked to a couple of agents. Robert Klemko had the opinion that maybe those agents had some kind of issue with the Texans organization, that maybe they were biased, in that maybe their clients weren't happy with the Texans or of some sort. Was there the agents that you talked to, did you ask them whether or not, or do you know them well enough to know that they have issues with the Texans organization?
That's a tricky one, because, you know, that's not unusual for agents to have issues with any organization. So that, yeah, guys will have access to grind, probably not the right way of putting it. But yeah, I mean, it's not unusual for an agent to not get what he wants out of a team and then hold it against the team. But that's not the case in this situation. I mean, the agents have had players that played for the Texans and they've dealt with them and had both positive and negative experiences with it, but that doesn't play into this. I mean, I do my best to stay away from the obvious access to grind. You know what I mean? When those usually stand out and jump out at you. So this is much more of, you know, them saying, "Hey, this is what I was told." So it's kind of it's much more of that than, "Hey, these sorry rascals are saying this." You know what I mean?
Got it,
Jerome. Despite what people will say about you in your mentions, I believe that you will be honest with your assessment of different things at different times. And I'm not trying to put you necessarily on the spot here. I don't want to get you in trouble with the organization. But I do think I'm of the opinion that Bob McNair, it's time for him to step away and move the team over to Cal. I think the health stuff hastens that. And I think what's lingering over him is going to be substantial and is not going to go away. With all that said, you have spent most of your career covering the Texans and Houston sports in general. Do you believe when you say some people believe he could have an all-white team?
And many believe, you said.
You said many believe that he could have an all-white team. Here's my issue with that, is that I think he wants a completely conforming, no-problem team. But I don't think he's a separatist. I mean, if you say an all-white team, you're basically saying, I'm not saying you, I'm saying it in the Usted form, that people believe that he is a white separatist. That's, in essence, what that is. Let's be real about what that is. I think that's real strong to say about him based on what we know about the organization since 2002.
Right. So I wouldn't say that. And I don't believe that to be the case. You know, so, but there are people who feel that way. And I'm certain that you've talked to people who feel that way. I'm certain you get phone calls of people who believe that. And you probably hear it from people who know a lot more about things he's said and done that make them feel that way. But as I said in the column, I don't think that's the case.
Bobby Nair doesn't want guys with edge. Bobby Nair's not a fan of guys with edge. Let's put it that way.
Right. He's not a big fan of guys who you know, stand up for themselves. He's not a big fan of guys who will speak their mind, et cetera. And, of course, most of those guys are going to be black because most of the players are going to be black. But there have been incidents. And that's one thing that I was real careful with in the column, and I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to go and start listing things that Bob McNair has said or incidents that have occurred in his tenure that make people think that way. You know what I mean? Because then, and then go, but he's not racist. Because I'm making the case for it. You know what I mean? And I kind of generally do that in columns anyway. When I write a column, I try not to write the other side. I'm like, you prove your own case on your own time. So I was real careful about that because I think if I go and start listening, you go, see? And it just, so I don't want to do that. But, it's just, when people say within the organization, and get that racism charge, and they go, "Oh, I'm not surprised people think that." that gives you an idea that the man has had some moments and some slips of the tongue and some. I just think he's racially tone deaf is the way I describe it, much more than that. And I don't think I just don't think it's fair to go out calling anybody a racist. You don't know a person's heart. I just think it's an ugly charge that I try to save it for people who I know are running around with sheets over their head.
It's Jerome Solomon, by the way, from the Houston Chronicle. On with
the Texans have said this. A recent report suggests the Houston Texans would not sign a player who has protested in support of social justice issues. It's categorically false and without merit. The Texans' ownership, coaching, personnel, and executive staff sign and hire employees based on talent, character, and fit within our organization. Amy Pelchick sent that out. Of course they were going to deny it.
Right, yeah. And that's fine. And that statement can be actually accurate. They just need to make sure to tell all of their coaches to not tell other people that that's what they're looking for, or not looking for. You know what I mean? Like that's on them. That's in-house. There is no official directive. That's a given, and that's a good thing, and that's what that statement says. But they need to probably not have drinks with agents and tell them, "Oh, we're not going to sign one of those kind of guys." You know,
Jerome Solomon with us here. Obviously they were going to deny it. Do you? This does your article does have a racist overtone, though? Does it or does it not?
Overtone.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. When you say to me, the Texans aren't a racist organization, but there are many who believe that Bob wants an all-white team. That does stink of, while I'm not saying it, with all due respect.
No. That's not with all due respect. Don't do that. Don't go, in other words, you're saying, Jerome, no, use my words. Use the words that I use because I use those words for a reason. Specifically say those words.
Right. However, you could have gone the other way.
Hold on. And I made it clear with no ambiguity. So if you decide you want to try to make up some words and make up some meaning, make sure you say, I'm making up meaning here that Jerome didn't say.
Well, okay.
I said specifically what I said.
No, I get it.
I say it when I see it, as they said.
Well, no, right. But by the same token, the reason that I say an overtone of this, if you had said the Texans are not a racist organization, there are many who believe that Bob McNair loves and honors and is all about his African American players. That's different than saying Bob. There are many who believe that Bob McNair would like an all white team. That's why I said that the tone of the article is more that Bob McNair has racist overtones.
What? I don't
think he's following. Basically, the tone is that this is more of, this is starting to mount that this is the perception of Bob. I think this is it. I think this is accurate.
This is the perception of Bob McNair.
This is the perception of Bob McNair, which is different than
right.
than Jerome. I asked Jerome his perception. He gave us an answer.
Right.
Go ahead.
There is that perception, and more so in the column I was pointing out that a couple of people within the organization have hit me with the, well, we had a black GM. He can't be racist. Which is the dumbest defense for racism charge you could have, in my estimation. So I'll always mock that. And, you know, that to me is funny.
Right. No, but not and again, by I'm saying this, it's not long after you bring up Marge Schott. You bring up Donald Trump. I mean, this doesn't have an overtone.
I bring up actual races.
Well, I get that, and you're lumping Bob McNair in that same neighborhood.
No, I didn't. No, I did not lump Bob McNair in that same neighborhood.
Well,
I didn't say Bob McNair is Mark Schott. You're just saying.
No, I did not say that you said that. I did not say that you said that.
I lumped them in
yes, that's
category?
Right. You're saying, well, pointing to Rick Smith. Well, Donald Trump has a black head of urban of housing, and oh, by the way, Marge Schott played black right. paid black players
and,
too.
And why did I put those there? Because I was saying you can't be racist and have a black GM. So that's not a good defense.
I think what John's saying is there's some slick ways to parallel them with other people who are known racist.
Yeah, I mean, and you know
I think
that,
that's
Jerome.
Probably what
no,
he's saying.
I'm not pairing him with them. I didn't pair him with them. I said you can't use Rick Smith as a defense for said charge because it's a dumb defense. And here's an example of why. Here's another example of why.
Right.
Period.
Here are overt racists that, you know, have right. the same kind of issues. Correct.
Yeah. So I'm saying that entire part is about that's a dumb defense. Period.
So... Okay. So, do you believe because
if I were trying to say that the man was racist, then I would list a lot of the things that would lead someone to believe that. But I didn't want to do that because then I'd be leading people to believe that. That's not at all what I did.
Do you believe that him telling the team that he's not happy about Barack Obama being president, or that he said the inmates run the prison, does that have racial overtones to you?
Yes. I could see why people would feel that he said that because of race. He wakes up in the morning and reads my column back in 2008 about Texans players and their feelings about Barack Obama becoming president, and decided, hey, I need to talk to the team.
And what do you know? What do you know to have happened? I want to make sure and get this out, Jerome.
What happened?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people really know this story. What was the story? Because this is kind of an important part of where this narrative comes from. What do you know from your team sources to be the case for what was said in that meeting?
Well, like I said, he read my column.
Right.
And my column was about, I'd have to go back and read it, but I remember writing about how D'Amico Ryan said he was, you know, he had shed a tear or something in the voting booth, and Amobi Okoye, it was the first time he got to vote at all. And so he took his little sister in with him because he wanted her to be there to see him vote for a black man for president, you know, and he was, you know, raised in Nigeria where, you know,
right.
it was a place where military rule and not the same as the freedoms that you have here. And it was a moving thing for him. And Andre Johnson was, you know, emotional about it, et cetera. And Bob McNair was emotional too. So he decided that he wanted to call the team together and talk to them a little bit after practice. And from what I understand, he stood there and said, I know some of y'all are feeling some kind of way. I read that in the paper, but, you know, That ain't everybody's feeling.
I don't know why, but again, why would he do that? That still doesn't make any sense why he would
it
do
is,
that.
It couldn't be dumber. And oh, by the way, the inmates running the prison couldn't have been dumber. It was a mixed metaphor, but whatever the case may be, it couldn't be dumber. But my thought is, Jerome, if Hillary had won, he would have felt the same way. I don't think, but guess what? Old, rich, Republican, white guy doesn't want a Democrat in office.
Okay, are you arguing with me?
No, I'm not arguing
then
with
you.
But again, my thought is that doesn't have racial overtones.
John just talks loud.
Why are you yelling at
me? This is how I talk.
He's from Chicago.
But the point is, you're arguing with me about how people feel. And I'm telling you, yeah, people would feel that involves race, because it did happen to be the first time a black man had become president of the United States. So they kind of felt that way.
Right.
Felt that way about the inmates running the prison, because the statement is inmates running the asylum.
Right.
The only time inmates running the prison is used is by people who actually run a prison.
Right.
And because of the percentage of black men incarcerated and the percentage of black men in the NFL, they felt that you might have a little race to it. And I can understand that.
No, I get that. But I get that, too.
I don't think that makes the man racist, but that's me.
No. And I could see where people would. Absolutely.
Well, no, wait a minute. Right now you just said you can see where people would think that, but a second ago you were yelling at me trying to say.
I'm not yelling. Secondly.
You were saying you don't see how people could think that. No, I didn't say that.
I said if you write that and it has an undertone of that, as opposed to writing that Bob McNair has paid millions of this. Okay, can I finish? Can I finish? As opposed to writing the Texans are not a racist organization, Bob McNair has paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. And oh, by the way, the makeup of the team has always been racially diverse. And it has absolutely never been, there is no indication whatsoever that he would want an all-white team. There's never been an indication that he would want an all-white team, because he's paid so many African-Americans to play for him over the years.
Okay. Tell the people that think that, not me.
No, right. But there are many people that think that. The thing is, you wrote the opposite. So that it does have an undertone or an overtone of him being racist, as opposed to not being racist.
But you're making up an undertone because you feel in some kind of way, I guess. That's your problem, not mine, bro. I wrote the exact words and told you what the case was. And I do believe if I had listed all of these incidents, and there are others, and I know you know there are others as well, I list those, then it would seem like I'm making a case that he is. You know what I'm saying? I intentionally did not do that because I didn't want to make fair case. I feel it's as I said in the column, that would be unfair. You don't know a person's heart. You can't get into someone's morals like that over these kind of little incidents. You know what I mean? So I think I would add credence to it by writing that, all of those things and other things. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get it.
I really and truly do. I could be wrong about that, so we can definitely debate that. But I think if I go through those and put those there, then a whole lot, the people who feel that way, they would have more people feeling that
Jerome,
way.
Jerome, do you
like wow? Because a lot of it, people don't know.
Jerome, do you think that this? I'm not going to get in your part. You don't have any. Some people feel like you know, the hometown team is going to hurt the team's ability to even get free agents. Your job is not to be the pom-pom. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that right now what you believe to be the sentiment by some people out there, or a lot of people, or whatever the case, however you want to label it, do you think that is going to hurt the Texans in free agency?
It's the definition of hurt could be debated. But
that they will not be able to sign certain players.
There are only 32 of these teams. There are only so many jobs, and money tends to talk, and that's all that matters. You know what I mean? But there are players, I'm sure, who would look twice at whether or not they want to play for the Texans. Whether that will affect them when if those are the particular players the Texans are interested in or going after, I don't know. You know, but and how the Texans handle it is on them. So it could hurt. But if Richard and let's make it simple, if Richard Sherman were a free agent, don't you think he would think twice about signing with the Texans? Or if he had the exact same offer with the Texans at another team, where would he go? You know what I mean? So
That's I couldn't see Richard Sherman or Michael Bennett a Texan.
No, obviously not.
No, right. I couldn't. So, no. Yeah,
Marcus Peters will not be a Texan.
And no. That would be, if I didn't write, that has nothing to do with the column. That would be the case last week. And it might be the case next week. You know, but if Richard Sherman were a free agent and the Texans were the only team interested, Richard Sherman would sign with the Texans.
Right. No, that ain't Richard Sherman, I think, is an extreme.
I use him as a specific example just because we know he's been outspoken about Bob Meir and the Texans.
Yeah.
So that I was making a specific point there because you asked me, will it hurt? That's a difficult question to ask because you don't know which players they're going after. Now, after it's done, when free agency is over and all of that, then maybe we'll get from some players who will say, yeah, I came down to the Texans and the so-and-sos, and I took the so-and-sos because I didn't want to play for the Texans. But today, that's a difficult one to answer.
Yeah. Jerome Solomon.
I don't think they'll have a problem signing these guys or filling out a team. I don't think that's the case. And, of course, as with all businesses, you handle your business and you'll be fine. They bring a free agent in and tell them what they are, what they believe in, and what they're about. And they get it done. It hasn't stopped them before.
Do you believe that Bob McNair, last question, do you believe that Bob McNair will be still the acting owner of the Texans when the preseason week one starts?
I don't know. He's been backing away from a lot anyway, as you both know. And health-wise, he's dealing with some stuff. So, I don't know. I tend to think that he's been getting closer to doing that anyway, and maybe this will be that time where he'll go ahead and step back. But if he's feeling stronger and healthy, I don't expect him to back off just to be back. That's a better way of putting it. He wouldn't back down from his spot just to back down. If he steps aside, it's because it'll be for a major reason, like his health is just not allowing him to continue to do what he likes to do, the best job at it.
I'm surprised he still is with the health issues that he's had.
Yeah, and he's going through a lot, and it's a challenge, obviously, for him. And he's dealt with it, you know, privately, which is admirable in a lot of ways. And he's been through a bit. He's been battling something, and that's a difficult thing for anyone to go through, for sure. And you know, I wish him well and pray for him and hope he can find a way to get some strength, more strength, and be able to do what he does. I have no problem with him owning the Texans as a person or as an owner. I have, you know, always taken them to task for their mistakes and the way they've handled their business and the way they've done it, just because they haven't been good at it.
Jerome, they really haven't. We got to go. We're up against it.
And Bob appreciate you. Serial bad handler. Seems like.
Wow. And he just common he sense. Get out good of Lord, man. Way.
Hey,
don't say that.
Thanks
stuff.
For coming on. Thanks for being part of back and forth with us. We appreciate it. We know you're good for that kind of stuff, so we weren't even worried.
Appreciate
about it,
man.
All right, fellas.
There's Jerome Solomon right here, often on the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5. I want